You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie. Today, I am interviewing, of all people, my own sister. This is Corianne Viner-Blake. So, Corianne, go ahead and say hello to the audience.
Hello, everybody.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself and about how long you've been practicing and how you got into the craft and so forth.
Okay, well, as you all know, I've only been in the craft about 2 years now, a little over 2 years now. And, it was kind of an epiphany. It was really a wonderful, evolution and realization. We were together, you and I were at a metaphysical shop. You had been kind of, you know, giving me information, books to read, things like that, you know, because I had questioned you about your spiritual practices and things like that. Me being still identifying as Christian, but not active in the church due to a lot of disillusionment.
We'll just say stuff.
Yes, disillusionment. It was probably, yeah, stuff. So anyway, I, you know, had been talking to you about your practice, your spirituality and things, and was very intrigued, you know, kind of, you know, what you were saying was making sense. So you and I had gone to a metaphysical shop here in San Antonio.
Yep, we went to Unlimited Thought. Love that place. Plug.
Yeah, if you're ever in San Antonio, that's one of the
Unlimited Thoughts places you need to go.
It's on Blanco
Road, right? It's on Blanco?
Mm-hmm. Actually, no. They changed it. They moved to Fredericksburg Road.
Oh, crap. I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me.
Yeah, they moved to
I'd have been over there going, where's my shop?
Exactly. No, they have moved to Fredericksburg Road. Nice little shop over there. So anyway, but we were at the location when they were on Blanco, and we were walking through, and just there was such a vibration, an energy. And I've always been one for belief in energy and we can manipulate things with energy. And
we've always been very sensitive. I mean, you know, you and I used to be able to communicate without ever speaking. And remember how that used to just drive Mom nuts? She would freak out because you and I would be having a conversation and she knew we were communicating, but we weren't saying anything. So then we'd both start laughing, or we'd both make the same face and, you know, kind of make the same gesture and kind of, you know.
Yeah. And we would do half sentences and stuff like that.
Yes.
But she would do the same thing with her sisters and brother.
I know, which is why I couldn't understand why she freaked out all the time. But she it tripped her out, and she couldn't handle it.
Yes. And you know, of course, we've always been one intuitive. We've always been ones for, you know, dream premonitions. Definitely
dreaming.
For premonitions. And, you know, like with Mom, you know, she would know when her brother or one of her sisters was sick or in the hospital, because she would smell the hospital.
That hospitally smell, you know. Even today, I'll start picking up the phone and calling people and saying, you know, are you okay? Are you all right? Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? Absolutely.
Of course, you know, I had that dream right before, you know, the night before the bombing at the Olympics in Atlanta. I had the dream right before right before 9/11, which used to freak my husband out. I mean, he, my ex-husband now, but used to freak him out.
Yeah.
Hated it when I did that.
When grandfather passed away, we happened to be, we had an office in Little Elm at the time. We moved that office, but we were at the office, and I looked straight at Harold and said, my mom is about to call. My grandfather passed away. And sure enough, as soon as I said that, the phone rang. It was Mom.
Yep.
Harold's face paled, and I didn't even say, hey, Mom. I just said, when did Granddaddy pass away? And Mom said, I knew you'd know.
So we've always had that, you know, we've always had that. We've always been there. Of course, you've always been more in tune with it. I've always been the, you know, the child that, you know, that complied or whatever. And you've always been a little bit more of a rebel than me. And truer to your, well, truer to your authentic self.
You were sneaking people in and out of the house.
Well, I did, but I just did it quietly.
That was not this girl. I was the honor student. What are you talking about?
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Right. But, you know, I mean, well, on a spiritual level.
To be fair, spiritually, I was the rebel. Because I was the one that was asking mom the tough questions that she would get angry about. She just popped me across the chops for being disrespectful. When I wasn't being disrespectful, I had a sincere question. And, you know, and to be honest with you, I kind of thank her for doing that, because that actually pushed me further away.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand at the time that she wasn't mad at me. She was mad at the fact that she couldn't answer my question.
Precisely.
And it made her uncomfortable. But at the time, I didn't understand that. So all it did was push me further away, because it made me angry.
Well, it is embarrassed her. And mom can't stand being embarrassed. It embarrassed her. And mom can't stand being embarrassed.
Her own faith, I think, because she couldn't answer my questions.
Exactly.
And that came up specifically when I was selected to go to the Soviet Union right before the wall fell as a student ambassador twice, and mom wouldn't let me go. And same thing with being a foreign exchange student to Norway, although I think her motivations there were different. I think she was afraid I wouldn't come home. But
well, part of it too was the financial situation too had a lot to do with it.
I could have gotten a sponsor. I mean, I had companies who were willing to sponsor me, but mom's excuse was, well, you wouldn't be able to go to church.
Yeah, I know that was a big thing.
I missed three services. And I mean, like it or not, on Sunday, the morning service was the same freaking sermon as it was in the afternoon. So there was no spiritual edification there. And the hypocrisy was rampant. And as a young child, that irritated me. I could not stand the open hypocrisy that I was seeing among the church leaders. And it did bother me. So I guess in a way, you're right. I was kind of, when it came to going to church, I did buck that. Although spirituality was always very important to me. I mean, I was diehard studying that crap. You even got me, I still have the journal you got me, the Christian note-taker journal.
Yeah,
I still have that, and I still use it.
Yeah,
not so much for the Christians. Well, actually, that's not true. I still use it to make notes, because I still read the Bible. I still go through that, because you still need to know it. If you're going to get into an honest dialogue with somebody, you've got to know that scripture and verse.
And actually, there's some from what I found, at least for me, there's some great spell work in the Bible.
Well, there is. And if you're into hoodoo, I believe utilizes the Psalms rather extensively.
And that's what I look at.
You know, and that's okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I actually want to interview a friend of mine who is a professed Christian witch, because I have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah.
So I have my own opinion on that. And I'm not here to disparage anybody's spirituality, because your path is your own. You gotta meet divinity where you are and where divinity can meet you. And I get that, but I just have certain questions that I would like answered, you know. That always gets me into trouble.
and I could probably shed a little light on that as well, but that's for another conversation.
Right.
But
right.
So we're going through this metaphysical shop. Huh?
I was going to say, how did you open out to the craft then? What was it, you know, besides the energy at the shop?
Well, so we're going through, right? And we stop, and you know me, I've always been one for cats. And I had that paw print birthmark on the lower portion of the small of my back as a child.
Yeah, one I used to poke on.
Yes. So I always had and used to try to rub it off. You know, because it looked like a little paw print, like a little dirty paw print on the small one of that. So I don't know. We were walking by and there was this statue of Bast.
Yes.
And I was instantly attracted to it. I picked it up, and then it just like a wave hit me.
Like an electric shock.
Yes. Like an electric, shock wave. It like when I got hit by lightning, it went through me, you know?
So,
and
for you, it was that zingy spiritual
awakening.
Because see, for me with the Morgan, it was different. Yeah. But go ahead. You were saying.
No, Bast made it very clear and very well known that, okay, enough BS.
Mm-hmm. Now, there does come a point where she says, never mind, you know, cut through the crap, we're going
to
do this. But it took me a little longer.
It was like, enough BS, you need to listen to me.
Right.
So, and I remember you telling me, you're like, are you okay? Do you need to sit down?
You're all right.
Because I think you thought, well, I was going to pass out on you.
Here's the thing, I could sense it. I could kind of feel the... There was a certain vibration in the air, but I wasn't sure if it was anything you were experiencing or if it was just the shop. Right. Because the shop, I will say that some of the people that work at the shop are not overwhelmingly friendly. They're not unfriendly, don't get me wrong. It's just that they're not the, hey, how you doing? Look around. Let us know if you have any, you know, they weren't like that. They were kind of keeping to themselves. And I think it's, you know, you're trying to get a beat on people coming into the shop, right?
Right.
So... You know, but see, for me with the Morrigan, I had kind of the opposite experience. I didn't have one of those grand spiritual awakenings where there was some, you know, bolt of lightning that struck me. I realized after a time, after I started learning about her specifically, that she had really been present for me my whole life, and I just didn't know it.
Yes.
Because if you'll remember, I spent a lot of time in the library back in elementary school, because mm-hmm. I would get picked on walking home from school, so Ms. Wallace had mercy on me and let me work in the library. I'd help her, you know, reset the card catalog if some idiot pulled the whole drawer out, stack books, check in books, you know, check the due dates, send out notices, and I loved it. I ate that shiz up, but it also gave me access to whatever books in the library I wanted. And there was a book by a woman named Pat O'Shea, and it was a big, thick book, but it was called The Hounds of the Morrigan.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't really remember the book specifically until somebody mentioned it, and I saw the cover, and I was like, oh, I've read that book. I read that book like in third grade, and it's a thick book, you know, but it was a fascinating tale. Now, in that book, the Morrigan is the bad guy, but I was fascinated by her, you know, because she was powerful.
Warrior.
And there were three, you know, aspects to this person in one person. And I'm like, well, I've got three people in me all the time. You know, I mean, I'm never the same person every day. Depends on what mood you catch me in. So I remember, you know, kind of rooting for the bad guy. But then, you know, I also like Maleficent. So, you know, I guess that's nothing new. Right. but it was interesting. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, you know, why was she the bad guy? Because she's trying to regain her power, right?
Right.
Even back then, something in that just kind of struck me as, well, why does that make her the bad guy? You know, what's going to happen if she gets control of the power? What's she going to do exactly? You know, because if you destroy everybody, then you don't have anybody to worship you, right?
True.
So, you know, I had forgotten about the book. And I realized that was my first real introduction, but I'd always been fascinated by crows and ravens, and I loved Edgar Allan Poe.
And they always, and I know as a child, the crows and ravens, even in Denver, used to tend to follow you. Like they would just appear, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and here in San Antonio, the grackles,
martins that grandmother had, you know, she had a purple martin house, and they, you know, I would go out and feed them, and they would come right up to me. And it was weird. It just never occurred to me. And then right after I started learning, I was working at the dayhab over here, not too far from my house, and I walk out of the dayhab with one of the guys that worked there, and my car was absolutely covered in blackbirds. Ravens.
You know, I meant to ask you a while back, but do you remember when we were at Grandmother and Granddaddy's when we first moved down here and they were living over off of King Oak?
Yeah.
We were sitting outside, okay, and the hummingbirds were always, you know, flocking around us and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we were outside playing because, of course, we had to be outside. We weren't allowed to be inside.
Right, allowed to be inside, making noise and being kids. Right. God forbid.
Exactly. So we're outside, and mom and grandmother were outside also. We were sipping tea, lemonade, something, I don't know what, but and they were, I believe, were cranking ice cream.
Well, but I was going to say, remember, we were making the ice cream.
Do you remember the blackbird that came, and you were sitting on the grass? And a blackbird came and landed right next to you and dropped something. And then they were like, what is that? And you go, it gave me a gift, or it gave me a present or something. You picked up, and it had brought you a button, a little silver button. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Oh my God, I hadn't
I
thought
was
of
so
that.
mad because I was like, why did she
Well,
get a
how
gift
come it
and
brought
she didn't
you a
bring me a
gift? Yes. Oh my God, I'd forgotten all about that.
And once I understood your path and started learning about my own path, I remembered that I was like, the Morrigan is so your deity. She is your goddess, that for real. And I
Yeah.
remembered that incident. I was like, wow, just as the paw print on my back is, my symbol, that is yours. I was like, wow.
Well, and you always liked cats, but mom hated cats. So that's why we were so fascinated when I found that one cat that had come into her garage, into grandmother's garage, and had kittens between the wall and the washing machine. That little black cat, I can't remember what I called her, but she had kittens, and grandmother kept one of the kittens. And we were so surprised because grandmother was absolutely attached to that cat, which she had never liked cats either, which is why mom never liked them. And I would have a cat today, except that Harold detests cats. I would never do that to a cat. But I think he doesn't like cats because he's too much like a cat himself. I mean, he is a Leo. But, you know, I
Don't like the
mean,
competition.
no, he doesn't. No, Harold does not like any kind of competition for my attention. He resents the dogs because it takes me a half hour to take care of the dogs when I get home at night. Of course, granted, I wasn't expecting to be the only one taking care of seven furry toddlers. But,
Well, Harold resents any competition to his attention to him in any form.
it's kind of true.
It's not kind of true, it is true.
Bless his heart, he's not all bad. If he was, I wouldn't be married to him for 26 years. But when it comes to money or attention, yeah, for sure. I mean, anytime money is involved, he's going to be totally on the defensive and unlivable. I've narrowed it down. That's what it is. And I think that goes back to when he was a child and, his dad dumped his, poor Mexican mom in a small Texas town and left her without any way to take care of two teenage kids. She had no education beyond high school. She was a seamstress. They went from living really well to not having squat. And I really think that that profoundly affected him. That and the fact that I think that he has a severe fear of abandonment. He's always afraid that everybody that's ever he's ever cared about has dipped out on him at some point.
Well, he drives so many people away.
He does, but see, I'll tell you why. Because again, it goes back to the same thing. He
I
has
get it, but
built
he's got
up
a
so many walls, he doesn't know how to break them down. He doesn't know how not to be that way anymore. It's insane. I feel kind of bad for him, but at the same time, it irritates me because I'm like, at some point you gotta look at yourself and say, I don't want to live this way. I've got to chill out. He just doesn't know how to. And he's such an extreme person. Oh, speaking of the devil,
He knows we're talking about him.
one moment. I'm gonna
Pause the
stop the recording for a second.
Okay. We'll be back, folks.
Well, I'll go look for it. All right. Someday I'm actually going to get through a podcast without there being interruptions. I have
You
like,
are the optimist, aren't you?
yeah, I am an optimist. Ever the optimist, right? Well, what's going to start happening is I'm going to start turning off the phone
There you go.
altogether during that time. And the problem is I can't really do that because I run a business. So I have to be available.
Plus the fact that if you do not return Harold's call or answer his call, he will have a
He'll
cat.
keep calling and he'll keep calling and he'll
He will
keep
have
calling.
a cat. Even though he does not like them,
Maria!
he will have one.
Maria!
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, so anyhow, we were talking about
We digress.
how Bass affected you at the shop. So is that when you knew that that was
That
the
was when.
path you were going to go, or and what was your next move? What did you do after that? Because I know for me, when I got into the craft, I've always been kind of drawn to it. You know that. I mean, I used to check out every book on witches and you know, what have you. I was a witch every year for Christmas since we moved from Denver. And, right. you know, I mean, it just, it never changed. So I talked with Trina, Sunshine Morning Ray, and I asked her, you know, because she was openly living as a witch. And I asked her, I said, you know, if I wanted to learn more about that, where would I turn? Okay, girl, you're going to have to go. You need to get out. Goodbye. Adios. See ya. Go. Bye-bye. Anyway.
Well,
You know, she pointed me towards Big Blue. So what did you do? What was your next move?
Well, as you know, I really, the best way I could describe it was, Helen Keller at the well. Yeah. I finally, you know, it was like, it was making sense to me now and I wanted more. Give me more. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, I know you were laughing at me and trying to corral me as I'm going around the shop
at you.
Well, you were chuckling, you know, you were getting a kick out of watching me run around trying to grab everything. What is this? And oh, look at this. And you know, and oh, what do we do with this? And you know,
mildly amused at your enthusiasm.
Yeah. So you did direct me. I was like, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I, you know? So you, that day you bought me my first tarot deck, which is still my only tarot deck at this point. But, and I'll explain that later. And then you directed me to Big Blue and said, this is a good place to start. This is where you started, you know, learning about the craft and things like that. And then, and a couple other books, the Year and a Day and things like that. So that's basically where I started. I've since become a full-fledged witch. I have hundreds of bottles. I have a dozen or better tinctures going. I've made my own oils. I've got flowers drying on my baker's rack in bundles.
I think that oils is where a lot of people start because it's easy to get. They're easy to do. They're easy to get. They're easy to understand. You know, condensers and tinctures, I think, are a little trickier for some people. But, you know, I think that's where we start is the brews, right?
Yeah.
I remember one of the first books that I bought was Scott Cunningham's Oils, Incenses, and Brews. Uh-huh. And I really like it. I mean, it's a good reference book. I disagree with Scott on some of the correspondences with certain herbs, but I mean,
yeah. Well, that's one thing I've really learned about herbs and stuff. Cause of course now I have a ton of herbs and things like that. I'm still building my herbal cabinet. But, one thing I've realized, or at least for me, cause I do, what, you know, witches balls or energy balls, whatever you want to call them. And I work very closely with a shaman there up in Dallas, up near you. He grows almost all of my herbs and things like that because he grows with Native American traditions. But one thing I've realized is that, you know, when I feel like a certain herb or a certain crystal or a certain color is something I should use. And then when I look it up and it doesn't match in the correspondence, one thing, you know, but something, you know, there's this insistence within me that says, no, this is what you need to use it for. I started thinking about it's because whatever vibration or energy level I'm on, in order to manifest the energy level that I need for that particular spell work or that particular manifestation of whatever I want to happen, that herb or that color correspondence at that time is what's matching or what's going to elevate my particular energy level to the level it needs to be for the manifestation.
Right.
That's what I feel occurs. That's why I think sometimes the correspondences don't always match up with quote unquote traditional correspondences for that work. But that's why there's always that opening. If it feels right to you, if that's what you feel,
and
do it.
And that's because the that's thing where
your vibration's at the time.
In tune with the materials you're working with.
Precisely.
You know, and I was going to say something and I totally blanked. How funny is that? God, one of these days I'm going to have a script and I'm not going to be interrupted and there will be barking dogs in the background because one day I'm actually going to have my freaking office completely set up. All right, let me give you the lowdown on what's going on with that. We opened up another therapy office in Denton, next door to the one. We weren't going to, but we had started to grow a lot with this other company, and now actually I've scaled back a lot of the clients I'm seeing for them. I had been making like $1,500 every 2 weeks with them, and now I made, my last check was like $500. But, you know, I mean, it's Medicare, so the clients go up, they come down, they go up, they come down, and I think the census has been down all over. But we based our decision to open that second therapy space because we were going to bring on another assistant. We wanted to give her a place to work and to see clients if they wanted to come to her, based on the fact that they told me they were going to have lots of work for us. So I'm not very happy right now, but we moved some furniture over to that office, and Harold did not like the way that I had set up my office after he told me to take all my stuff out of the house, which was fine. I didn't really want it here anyway, but he brought me over two bookshelves that we had in the storeroom because I needed more place to put things. And actually I'm really glad we did that because once I started taking my textbooks off the shelf and putting them onto the new bookcase, I realized that the books were so heavy, they were actually bowing the shelves on that bookcase. So it was actually better for me, and the space looks far more amazing. But I do have to clean the floor before I can put Lucille back up and get her set up there. So in any case, I am in the process of kind of getting that space set back up and into a condition in which I can use it for Purple Broom, because one of the things I want to start doing is active Reiki sessions at my office, because the massage therapist next door has clients that are interested in Reiki sessions. So she was going to take some of my cards, but I wanted to have a space where I could come have them sit that felt energetically amazing. And right now it's just in chaos. So it does not, you know, feel good. It's starting to come together, but I need to clear off my desk because I have so much paperwork on the desk. And some of it I think is just stuff that I pulled out of places, and I need to go through it and decide what needs to be kept and what's got to go. But I also wanted to have a place to do readings, tarot readings, Akashic record readings and clearings, other energy work, scrying work, spellcraft, that kind of thing, and to do the podcast so that it was to the purpose it's supposed to be set up for. Right. And I just, the problem is, here's how it works. I get a lull in my business, like right now with, Now You're Talking. So I'm able to kind of set back and go, okay, well, I can take a few minutes this evening and I can go over to the office and do this and that. And then the minute I get everything kind of arranged, my Now You're Talking picks up to the point that I don't have time to do anything else.
Of course.
It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. So, you know, it's like, you know, I'll have a lull and then it'll pick right back up and be twice as busy just when I think, okay, now I'm going to start working on this, you know, and I haven't figured out where that is coming from, but it's pretty annoying. So anyhow, oh, wow.
What?
I got a message for speaking of the devil. Now You're Talking. This lady's a speech therapist over in Denton, and she has a family that's looking for private therapy for a preschool kid.
Oh.
Spanish speaking, but the child's deaf, so that'll be an interesting one. So anyhow, as I was saying, I don't want to say too much because of HIPAA, but
yeah.
Any hoodlies, yeah. So I'm hoping to have that space set up because I'd also like to start doing workshops on meditation and, you know, just general classes. I'd like to start giving like my palmistry class. I'd like to do, because the Udemy platform, it worked really well at first, but I had one enrollee last month, you in December. You were my only enrollee in December. I mean, it was the lowest 2 months I've ever had. And I just don't know that that platform is really doing it for my classes. Plus, they keep deep discounting my classes.
I was going to say, I don't know how you make anything because, you know, I don't know how you make it.
Well, one of the things that people have suggested is that I just put it up as like a private YouTube link and put the classes on my website and let people enroll that way. And when they enroll, then you send them the link to the courses, you know. But I need to figure out how to set that up. Somebody else recommended Zoom, and I'm not sure how that works either. So I was going to try to talk to Benabel Wen and see if she could give me a little guidance in which direction to go with that.
Right. So,
but in any case, you know, I do want to start doing some workshops and things like that at my office. But I've got to see how I'm going to set it up and how it's going to be done, you know, class limitations and size limitations. And because I don't really want to spill over to the Now You're Talking side of the building. But right. Like it or not, there's more room over there for a class, per se. Because I was looking at renting a classroom at Miracles of Joy, but that's kind of pricey. So I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to do that. But in any case, that's where that sits. So moving forward with you, where, you know, talk about kind of where you are now compared to where you were when you first started out. Are you still feeling that all-encompassing enthusiasm and buying up every book you can get? Or do you feel like you're starting to kind of come into your own?
Both. You know, I still have an enthusiasm for all the, you know, it's still a lot of things are new. I'm learning, which I love. You know me. I love to learn new things. So I'm like a sponge. If there's something that I can be learned, and there's so many directions your path can take, there's so many different practices and things like that. And I do consider myself an eclectic witch. I tend to focus more on Egyptian and shamanistic, you know, Native American practices, but I do incorporate a little hoodoo here and there. I do incorporate, you know, a lot of green witchery, you know, and things like that. So, and I do entertain some other deities times. So
to be honest with you, I think we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the extent to which we do may vary, but right. I don't know anybody. I don't think I've ever met a single modern witch that's one specific style or other.
Except unless they're in a coven.
Well, except for maybe, right. Well, and even then. I mean, even when you talk to them, because like Alexander Cabot, he is a Cabot witch of the Cabot tradition, but he's very open about the fact that he has backgrounds with African diaspora. And of course, he's Cuban. So you have the you know, Cuban vein of practice also that he's, you know. So even then, even when you're a member of a coven, I don't know that the only person I can think of that I know that was not as eclectic as others would be Raven Grimassi, who was very much a Strega witch. So, and taught the Strega way. He was very big on tradition.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because unfortunately Raven's no longer with us. So, you know, being able to talk to him is no longer an option. And that saddens me beyond belief.
At least not in a podcast.
Well, you know, what's funny is I was going back and re-listening to his and Stephanie's podcast the other day just to hear his voice again.
Yeah.
I was like watching all of his videos. I was on a Raven kick the other day and I was just going through and listening to all of his YouTube videos. He just had a way about him that was very laid back, very approachable. He was very open about what he believed and why he believed it, but he wasn't argumentative about.
Yeah, he was accepting of other people's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he knew that people weren't believing, you know, but he had. What's funny is when you go back and you listen to the podcast, you know, in his Raven Grimassi in his own words, because they did that as a 2-part series. I'm very, very glad they did that, especially now that he's not with us any longer. It's funny because a lot of the things he describes doing as a child were things that I did myself. Like he talks about making little houses for the fairy folk. You know, I'm one of the towns believe in fairies, but you remember I used to go out and dig little holes or make little houses for the fae all the time
Yeah, we'd make
as a child.
we used to make little mud houses. Instead of making
Yeah.
mud pies, we were out there making mud houses, little
And
huts.
little tree limbs, we'd use little tree limbs, and you know, we'd put little light posts outside for them, and we'd use our Barbie stuff, and you know, and it's funny because I always did that. And the taking the spool, grandmother's
And
wooden
dad's
spools,
train, yeah, to make
and shake, you
tables.
know, spinning them over our heads to hear the whistle.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, he talks specifically about doing that, and I was like,
Oh,
man,
wow.
I thought I was the only weird kid that did that. But he talks about how, you know, his strong belief in this spiritual world often isolated him as a kid, you know, which he was a military brat. So he
Yeah.
had kind of a rough childhood moving around. But I was thinking to myself, my God, the things he's talking about that he was doing probably 20, 30 years before I was even gleaming dad's eye, I did as a kid, you know,
Right,
just
right, right, right.
instinctively. You know, nobody showed me how to do those things. I just did them.
Right,
And
right.
you know, I know mom thought I was, mom never understood me. She thought I was just as weird as everybody else did, but I don't think she knew what to make of me. And even, you know, she would get annoyed with me and would just say, just go outside and play. And that was frustrating as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it was disheartening.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you didn't want me anywhere around. Stop mauling me. Why do you always have to be around me?
Because I
Well,
was a teenager and I didn't want, I was trying to do my own thing, and mom was insistent that I take you along with me, But I was also very protective of you. But you were always very protective of me too. It's kind of
oh,
weird.
very much so. Yes, it you don't mess with my family.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was the same way, don't mess with my little baby sister. That's my job.
Well, what's funny was Trina brought up an incident that I'd forgotten all about too. But when we first met them, because a lot of people don't realize Trina and her brothers and her brother and sisters were adopted by our uncle. And when we first met Trina and Tony and Monica and Lisa, in Colorado, you know, we went over to their house for the first time. And we went out to the school, and they were still building. Aurora was still being built as a neighborhood. It
As a
was just a,
subdivision,
it was a
yeah.
subdivision. That's the craziest thing to me because it's a city of its own now, but it
Right.
was subdivision outside of Denver, and the houses in the neighborhood was still being built up, and they were still building the school. I don't remember if it was a middle school or a high school. I think it was
Right.
the high school, but they were still building it at the time, and it was just down the street from their house. And we were out there playing in the big, you know, dirt piles that were out there. And Tony saw some people coming up, and he was like, oh no, you know, these kids have been picking on me at school. And Trina said, man, they came over there and tried to start some shit, and you told them, just line up right here. If you're going to pick on somebody, you pick on me. And so they all lined up, and she said, and you just started wailing like a windmill, and they took off. And I was like, oh crap, I forgot all about that.
Like I said, this little kid's crazy. They didn't think you were going to have any power to your punch, but you did.
All of our cousins are boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, of
And
course.
then Lisa jumped in and was right there with you. You're like, yeah, and it was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yep, you don't mess
But
with the family, that's for sure.
no.
But yeah, anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's just it was funny she remembered that. I didn't remember that. I remembered it after she brought it back up, but for some
Right.
reason I had just kind of set it aside. But you know, when you talk about tradition, yeah, I would consider myself eclectic. And I talked with Patsy Cabot last week. She's a
Right.
Cabot witch, and you know, I just don't know how I feel about joining any particular. I don't mind learning, like taking the classes,
Right.
but I don't know that I would want to be formally a part of any specific tradition because, one, I don't gel well with groups. You know that. I've never fit in. I don't fit in. And I don't know that I want to be hindered by somebody else's dogma. That was one of the reasons why I
Right.
left the Catholic Church and the Church of Christ. You know, I mean, I left the Church of Christ because of the hypocrisy, the BS, the disagreements, the inability for people to tell me that if two people in the same church disagree on the meaning of a scripture, who's right and who's wrong. Right. You know, the Catholic Church was able to say, well, we have a magisterium, and the magisterium is a learned body of men who gather together that studied the scriptures, and we agree as a body that this is what this scripture means, and that's what it means for the entire church. So that's what drew me to the Catholic Church in the first place, that their sense of unity and a real sense of worship when I walked into a Catholic church, you know. And I loved being a Catholic until I started studying to become an apologist, and then everybody knows that story. You know, I just started learning more about the origins of the church and the Bible and realized it was a bunch of BS. And, you know, I stepped away from it because if you can't accept it, you know, it's the one scripture that kept going through my head was the one where Christ says, I will that thou art hot or cold, for if thou art lukewarm, I shall spew thee from my mouth.
Yep. Yep.
And so I said, that's it. I've got to step away. And so for my own, you know, and I didn't like the fact that there's all this dogma that leads to hypocrisy.
Right.
So, you know, not that I'm saying that there's, you know, I'm sure there's witches that are hypocrites too, but the path, you're not being told what to think or how to live. But when you live in a tradition, when you follow a tradition, you are being told, this is what you have to practice. This is what you have to believe.
Right.
And
for some people, that works for them.
Yeah, it does. And again, I'm not disparaging anybody that's in a coven. I'm glad that you guys find a group that shares your ideals enough that you can connect with them and do that. Now, where I do miss it is there are times when I would like to have the energy of others to draw upon, to help with a working. Like when I was trying to do workings to get Harold a job, which, right, by the way, he denies my craft had anything to do with it, but he didn't start getting any kind of opportunities till I started putting a whole lot of work into it.
I was going to say, but we know better.
Exactly. I had a big, you know, glass candle that I was burning in the fireplace like nearly every day. I had sigils all over it. And he'd ask me, what is that? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't ask what you don't want to know about. And, you know, he's sitting there just looking at it in the fireplace because you know how I feel about candles. I said, that's why it's in the fireplace and not out on the counter here. I said, don't ask what you don't want to know about, you know, but it was all about getting him work. And that's when he started getting the PRN work on a regular basis, when he got the other PRN work for the hospice company and then the job, you know, but he goes, well, I'm not going to deny that it was you filling out applications for me and, you know, helping me with my resume. I said, but it's more than that. I said, prayer without action is useless. Spellcraft without action to back it is useless.
That's right.
You're creating opportunities when you're using spellcraft. And I said, and all spellcraft is an amped up prayer.
You're generating energy. You're channeling energy to a
Which
certain.
Which is exactly what you're doing when you're praying.
Exactly. That's exactly what you're doing. Prayer, so, song, it's all, I hate to tell people, but it's all spellcraft.
Exactly. Thank you. I've been saying that for a long time. Right. But so let me come to the big elephant in the room. Not that I'm calling her an elephant per se, but the idea of mom. How does mom know you're practicing?
She does. Now, it was.
Does she know I'm practicing?
She does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's never come up directly in our conversation, but right, she said something very interesting to me on the phone the other day when she was like, well, you just got to use whatever tools you have to do what you want to do and to move your life in the direction. Okay. Once again, I am eventually going to get down to where I can make a full recording without a million and one interruptions. Okay. So, sorry. We were saying.
Yes.
What were we saying? I don't remember now.
Well, originally you had asked, we kind of digressed.
How's mom taking it? And you said mom's kind of coming to terms with it. Now, what I thought was interesting was, aside from dad being a Mason, but mom also gave you a very interesting book she just happened to have around the house. And as I do recall, mom went through a period in the mid 80s of New Ageism. I didn't know what it was at the time, but she had that awesome necklace that I was obsessed with that was like a little pyramid. And you would open the bottom of the pyramid and you would put wishes in there. You'd like write it down on paper and put them in there. And it was supposed to channel the energy of the power of the ancient Egyptians and manifest this wish for you. And I remember she had a lot of little papers stuffed into that necklace. I don't remember what any of them said because I don't think I ever actually read them. That bothered me.
Yeah.
Because she didn't let anybody read them. Being, reading somebody's diary is kind of what I felt like.
Right. She didn't let anybody read them.
Right. You're
supposed to focus your own energy on it. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, she had that. She still has that somewhere. I have to, you know, and she says she finds it. She's going to give it.
It's on her tray. It's on the tray.
Well, we looked
on her dresser. Right now.
Yeah. We looked. It's not there right now, but anyway, yeah. But yeah, she's coming around. She's coming to terms with everything. She doesn't always agree, you know, have you, but, and that's okay, you know, and I told her that's okay. Her biggest thing was she thought that I had, you know, that I didn't believe in God anymore. And that was Lonnie's biggest thing is, well, you know, I don't know if you still pray. I said, of course I pray.
I said, yeah, see, yeah, that's one of the biggest fallacies. And here's what I tell people. I believe in God. I just don't think that he was a single parent.
Exactly. And that's basically what I tell them. You know, it's like, I believe in balance. I believe in a God and a goddess. There is a male and female. I said, if you look around, everything is male and, you know, there's male and female in almost every species aspect, you know, in trees and plants. And, you know, I said, there are some that are, you know, asexual, but for the most part, there's balance. And I said, there just as there's positive and negative energies, just as there's light and dark, you know, I said, there's, you know, I can't believe that, you know, I said, if you, you know, I try to kind of explain it to them and my beliefs. And mom kind of understands. I think mom kind of gets it. She just doesn't want to admit it.
She's always leaned that way herself. I mean, I honestly think being a witch isn't, it's more than a title, okay? Exactly. You can call yourself a sorcerer, enchantress, an empath, a clairvoyant, a clairaudition. You can call yourself whatever you want. It's all witchcraft because witchcraft is the manipulation of the energies around you to utilize or to use of the energies around you for a specific purpose.
What you
exactly. Well, not necessarily to manifest, but to know or understand too, like in clairauditions, a clairtangents, or, you know, anything like that. So everybody is psychic. Some people tune it out.
Well, it's like I tell people, I said, you know, why do you think animals know when a storm's coming? What do you think they do? They hunker down. The birds stop flying in the air and they nest up and things like that. Why do you think, you know, what do you think happens when, you know, bees are, you know, when they attack because they send a signal.
Right.
They'll
tell you it's because they feel the change in the barometric pressure and all that. And here's my argument. I think there are people who are extremely sensitive to changes in the barometric pressure.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when you look at certain people, they get migraines. They get terrible headaches or their body hurts. Ask somebody with arthritis what the weather's going to be like. They can tell you. But it's because everything around us is energy. And all we're doing as witches, if you want to take that title, is we're tapping into the energy sources at our disposal, whether it be electricity, whether it be an herb, whether it be our sensitivity, our psychic ability, so to speak. We're tapping into that energy. You know, when someone walks into your house and they're in a bad mood, you even set eyes on them, when you hear the door open, I can tell you what kind of mood Harold is in. I knew before Harold even got home yesterday,
lose your train of thought?
Hang on. Yeah, sorry. My assistant is texting me.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, you know, like you were saying, I believe, I've talked to mom and other people, radio waves are fashioned after brain waves. Okay.
Right.
We are receivers and transmitters. just like it, and I liken it when I tell them, you know, when you think of something telepathically, or if you know that a song is going to come on a radio, or you know somebody's going to call you, or whatever, I said, all you're doing is you're picking up a signal. Or if you know, like with twins, that, you know, if one of the other twins is hurt or sick or whatever, it's because they're closely connected. They're on the same
frequency. Well, you know when your child is stressed or in need.
You're on the same frequency. And so you're picking up, they're transmitting a wave, and you're picking, you're receiving it, or vice versa. So it makes perfect sense. It's perfectly explainable. People just choose to sensationalize it. And so to me, witchcraft or the craft, it's not anything, it's not so much sensational as it is, it's an innate ability that we have been, you know, imbued with, that we've lost touch with because we've got so much technology around us. We've got the technology and things jamming our signals. Some of our synthetic clothing jams our signals. And if you look into the ancient, you know, the Eastern arts of chi and things like that, they teach you, they are taught how to manipulate energy, literally throw energy balls and things like that. And they teach you that you've got to minimize the amount of electronic devices around you. You've got to try to stick to natural materials like silk and cotton, where energy can flow. So nothing new. It's nothing sensational, if you will. Nothing really that mystical, except for the fact that we've lost touch with our abilities to do that, which animals and insects still have those abilities because they haven't jammed their frequencies.
It's not that we've lost the ability. The ability is there. It's we've closed ourselves out to it. Exactly. Because like even Matt says in his new book, Psychic Witch, small plug, that, you know, even if you think you don't have that ability, the ability is still there.
It's there.
It's knowing how to open yourself out to it because it's innate to who we are as creatures. And you're 100%. It's very similar to that. And the thing that gets me about it is that it's, what was I going to say exactly? I'm sorry. This has been one of these days. I'm going to have smooth, professional sounding podcasts that sound great and are smooth and connected and woof. Yeah. Anyway.
And, you know, it's a lot like a muscle, you know, if you don't use the muscle, it atrophies.
Well, so, exactly.
You know, it's
muscle's still there. You can build up the strength, but it's going to take time to get it there. Exactly. And it's going to take a lot of exercise and work. And what I was going to say is, you know, now I forgot what I was going to say again. God dog it.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't you. It's like it floated into my head and then flitted back out like a dadgum butterfly. shiny. Oh, jeez.
Squirrel.
I'm going squirrel. Which is funny because I wish I had the video on. You know what Harold gave me? I found it in my lunch bag. It says Nuts About You, and it's a squirrel, and his mouth it's a popper. You squeeze it and he pushes nuts out at you.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, it's got these little balls and you squeeze it and it's like a ball shooter, but it's a squirrel. It's got a big nut in his mouth and it says Nuts About You. Anyway, there's a dirty joke in there, but we won't go there.
Yeah, I was not going to, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, it's right on the tip of my brain.
Oh, I was going to say, if it's on the tip of your tongue, stick it out. I'll see if I can find it.
I need more coffee. Oh, my God.
All right.
I was going to
say. Anyway, you know, I mean.
Say, my point was, today's science is yesterday's witchcraft. If
exactly.
You told people 200 years ago that you could flip a switch on the wall and turn on a light in the middle of the night, they would have thought you were insane.
Oh, yeah.
And we take it for granted today. Exactly. All that is a harnessing of the electrical current around us naturally to
channel it in a manner
to a specific purpose. Exactly. And I don't see witchcraft as anything different than that, whether you call it shamanism, energetic manipulation, witchcraft is just the label I give it.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. That's what it's always been known as. You know, and Harold's argument is, well, witches have never been appreciated. If you go to any society and any religion today, witches are seen as bad and evil and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't care what anybody else thinks about it.
That's right. Well, and that's usually because people in power that don't have that, you know, they're jealous of people that have a greater ability or gift to manipulate the energies better than they can. And so therefore, in order to oppress or control, they subjectify and they sit there and they oppress so that they can control and feel better about themselves, maintain power.
Right.
The only reason for that, it's a jealousy.
Exactly.
So that's innate to human nature and civilization going back millennia. So
I totally agree. And that's been the thing that gets me about it all. So, mom would, like I said, mom was always using those abilities.
She knew
things like if we wanted to get away with something, we knew we weren't going to get away with it because mom would always know. And grandmother, I think, was the same way. Now, what upset me about grandmother was, I think grandmother was very manipulative. I found out after the fact that she intervened in my life in some key moments without my knowledge. And I think that she would use her intuition to her own, what she perceived as an advantage or her own design. It was going to be her way or the highway. And mom is very much like that. So I think the fact that mom's coming around is a beautiful thing because I think she's always been kind of geared that way herself, but was told that she had to suppress it.
Well, just so you know, just to kind of an interesting fact, kind of not, a little bit off topic, but not so much. Mom was looking for your YouTube videos and things like that because she wanted to see them.
Really?
Yeah, she didn't know what they were under. I showed her a couple of them yesterday, and I showed her the one on Witches of the Moon about, because she knows I make the energy balls or witches balls. I call them, for her sake, I call them energy balls, but, I showed her basically that episode, and I didn't think I should show her the one on servitors, but
well,
and then I showed her your
dragon one. Magic. I mean, that's not that big of a deal.
I know.
Don't show her the one. Don't let her watch the one on how I came to my path, because I talk about how oppressive she was with the religious stuff.
Oh, I know. I've seen it. But anyway, I showed her your Purple Broom Apothecary and showed her one of your Herb Cabinet series videos, which I would like for you to start doing again. Hint, hint.
Yes, I'll get on that.
I'll help you
on the Witching It Up series, where I actually show how to work spells, certain spells. I've been asked to do more on that, too. But, here's my problem with doing those and why I always hated the freaking share a spell videos on Witches of the Moon.
Because it's supposed to be your own energy.
Well, exactly. My thing is that I don't mind sharing the basics of a spell. Like, here's some cool ideas.
Right.
But my spell craft is so personal that it changes. I never do the same spell twice.
Right.
I may use the same format to it.
Right.
But I don't. Yeah, that's why my videos for Witches of the Moon on things like this week we did money magic. And my video is very general. I'm like, here's some things that I kind of do when I do this. But I don't discuss the words that I use or how I enchant things because I like things to rhyme. So I spend a great deal of time and energy focused on how to get the rhyme right with the right meter and timbre, because that's important to me. But that doesn't mean that if somebody else doesn't do that, it's not going to work. And I don't like to, here's my thing. When you share your spellcraft with people, this is why I don't put, when I was new to the craft, I was so enthusiastic about sharing my altars, and everybody was putting up pictures of these beautiful altars, and and I realized that I might have been negatively impacting them because I was like, well, man, I don't have that beautiful space. I don't have a space I can put up, all right. the time and have an ongoing altar, and oh man. And although I wasn't being negative directly towards them, mm-hmm. I feel like there was an energy of jealousy.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually jealous of them, but there was an energy of jealousy that may have sent some sort of negative vibe that direction. And I was horrified at that thought. So I thought, I don't want to do that. So I stopped doing that. And I don't put up pictures of my own altars anymore either. I leave that stuff off altogether, because I'm like, you know, I don't want to put it out there for other people to impact my magic either.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I hear what you're saying. I get it. But also being as a, you know, fairly new to the path, and, you know, looking for, you know, guidance and things like that, it was very helpful to me to see or hear how other witches did their spellcraft or get ideas for spell work.
And I agree.
I was like, I didn't know
I absorbed every Lady Grave Dancer video out there.
Yeah, I did.
And a lot of how I structure my craft still comes from some of her ideas.
I did a lot of Lady Grave Dancer. I did a lot of, you know, Sunshine Morning Ray. I did a lot of your videos. I did a lot of, you know, Tiptoe Chick. But
I asked Trina, once she gets established in her new home, is she going to go back to doing videos again? And she said, perhaps so, dot, dot, dot. So little teaser out there. Let's push her. Let's pressure her into.
Let's not pressure her. Let's welcome
let's
her.
Let's encourage her.
Yeah, let's welcome her back.
Vociferously, into doing her videos again, because, you know, I learned a lot from watching Trina and Tequila. And the thing is I love to be around Tequila. I love going to her house.
I haven't had the honor of meeting her yet, but I look forward to it.
I love going shopping with her and Bex. You know, it's so much fun just to be able to be myself around people without fear of some sort of snide comment or ridicule or, you know, anything of that nature. So, sure. I really, 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 really would like her, Trina, if you're listening, Sunshine Morning Ray, please, 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 please come back. And I was very happy that Tequila put her videos back up.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, if you watch Tequila's videos very carefully, and Trina was very careful not to do a lot of spellcraft type spells either.
Right.
She would do some, but they were also very general in nature. Well, yeah, after the dog got pregnant, after she did the love spell, I was like, girl, you should have known that was coming when you mix their, you know, put their fur in there. She goes, well, I didn't think, you know, it was funny.
Yeah, she wasn't really doing a full spell. She was just kind of going.
Exactly. She was just motions. But that's because she's been doing it for 3 years. It's all in what she does now. That's the problem. So, you know, the thing is that, you know, you do gain a lot from that. And I think it's important to share ideas, which is why I just keep them kind of general in nature.
And I don't think there's a problem with that. I think that's good. I mean, I do, you know, where I'm at now with, you know, what I'm doing out at the Swan and what have you, I do spell kits for people because I've been asked, you know, I do spell work for people. I'm very careful about it. You know, I have some very strict guidelines as to what and I've had people ask me, will you, people that are new to the craft that want to learn and basically want me to mentor them. You know, and I feel confident enough in my spell work and in my knowledge now to guide them and help them to a degree. I tell them, you know, I'm still learning a lot myself. I think it's going to be a lifelong learning.
I was going to say, here's the thing about the craft. There's always something new to learn. There's always someone new to learn from. And I think you gain things from every person that you talk to, but I'm glad you brought something up because I know you've got to go and I've got to get ready because I'm going to be at a client's house in about an hour myself. But I wanted to bring up the Black Swan Inn because you have a shop that you're opening at the Black Swan Inn in San Antonio. It's actually open. Like you do is it weekly every weekend or is it like certain weekends?
No, the market is, we have market days, which the markets are open the first and third weekends of the month. The Black Swan Inn or Victoria's Black Swan Inn, formerly known. Victoria's Black Swan Inn is one of the considered one of the most haunted places in Texas.
How did you get started over there? I mean, I know I'm very familiar with the venue. If you are not familiar with the venue and you're in the San Antonio area, go and check it out. It is lovely. There are lots of spooky places around San Antonio. And in fact, there's a book called Weird Texas. It's got a whole chapter on freaky places to visit, including the Marfa Lights. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, just Google it. But there's a couple of places that I want to do paranormal investigations at.
And actually, speaking of paranormal investigations, the Curious Twins Paranormal, they actually office they're on property. We've been featured on shows like Fear and a couple of other paranormal shows. We have paranormal groups come out all the time, filming out there and showcasing the Swan. But more than that, and please keep in mind, if you do come to visit the Black Swan, that is a family-owned property. They do live on property in the house. People try to come into the house on non-market days or at night or whatever. Please be respectful. It is private property. You know, when the market is not open, they do open it up. But there are people that live on the property and in the house. So please keep that in mind and be respectful of that.
Yes,
but absolutely. Other than that, the market is open on the first and third weekends of the month. We do several great fun events. We just had the Red Velvet Cabaret. We are going to be having a Celtic Fest coming up. We are going to be having April, we're going to be doing spell crafters and potion makers. And that's another event that we're doing where we're actually going, it's like a fair, if you will, or where we're going to be doing classes. I'm going to be teaching classes on basic spell work or spell craft.
I wanted to talk to you about that too. Uh-huh. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know you're running short on time, and so am I. So since I wanted to get to that, how are you going to structure that class? Can you kind of go over your bare bones outline of what you're going to be talking about in that class, and then go ahead and give the date for that class so that if people are interested, they can check it out.
Okay, well, first of all, as far as the date, and you know, you kind of caught me off guard on that one because she just set the date in stone not too long ago, put it on the calendar. If you go to Victoria's Black Swan Inn on Facebook and look for the events page, it has a full calendar of all of the events that we've got coming up, including a Harry Potter we're going to be showing a Harry Potter movie and doing a Harry Potter day where we are now Diagon Alley, you know, and that kind of thing. So there's you know, we have Beltane Fest and all kind or Beltana, we have all kinds of stuff going on. In answer to your question about how I plan on structuring it, I'm actually going to be doing two classes. The first class is going to be Spellcrafting 101, and the other class that I'm going to be doing is energy healing, because I am being certified as a Reiki master. I also do a lot of energy healing and cleansing. Just that seems to be my innate ability as an empath, and as energy work is very easy for me. It comes very naturally to me. So I'm going to be doing a class on that as well. The classes are about 45 minutes. They're going to be throughout the property, inside the house, in the milking barn, which has just been recently opened, and also in some of the shops of the vendors or in their areas, that kind of thing. My shop is not yet open. We are working on getting the materials for building it, but I do hold my booth there until my shop is open. The Spellcrafting 101 is basically going to be just for beginner. You know, it is just that, Spellcrafting 101, the very basics. I'm going to talk about, one, what tools you need and what tools you don't need. And what you don't need is tools. You are the tool. You are your best tool, and your intention and your purposes and things like that are are going to be, you know, that's basically how I'm going to start out. I mean, however, you can incorporate various elements into your spellcraft to help you elevate that spellcraft and help you raise your energy to the level needed for that particular, for you to manifest whatever in particular you're trying to manifest. And so that's basically what I'm going to go over. I'm going to definitely go over correspondences, as far as like crystals, colors, herbs, also going to kind of touch on vibrational energies such as drumming, singing, bells, that kind of thing, and how that can help you raise your inner, you know, the energy or raise your power, cone of power, that kind of thing. Also, you know, individual work as opposed to group work.
Well, your power is created from the circle.
Right.
Casting a circle. Although circle casting isn't necessary.
Right.
And one of the things that I think is important to bring up, and you might want to mention this, it's your class, because this is a misconception I think a lot of people have, is that you don't create a circle. You don't open a circle to keep things out. Yeah, it's not protective, is my nature.
Right.
It can be to a degree, but like it or not, if your circle and your cone of power is not permeable, good things can't get in and things can't get out.
Exactly.
So, a circle is not protective. A circle is created for the purposes of raising a cone of power.
Correct.
That's going to be directed outward. And I think that that's something that a lot of new witches don't understand. They think a circle is protective, yeah, and to keep bad things out of your spellcraft. And you can put protective energies out there, but that is not the purpose of casting a circle. And that's why casting a circle is not necessary for your spellcraft to be effective. And I just want to make that important distinction.
Oh yeah, no. And that's some of the things I plan on touching on. And also, and the only reason why I talk about a cone of power and that is when we talk about group spell casting, or if you're in a coven and how, you know, basically how that works, and that you raise that cone of power with like-minded entities, but also being careful of the fact that if somebody is not on the same page with you, or if they're distracted or whatever, that can affect the spellcraft. So you have to be careful. And also, if you're in that circle helping to raise that cone of power for that particular ritual or working, that you have to make sure your focus, your energy is true and honest and open, and that you're focused properly. And I'm not going to go into depth in that kind of stuff. I'm just basically going to touch on it in this class, because again, it's a 101 class. It's not an advanced
and
class.
And how long is this class going to be, like each of the workshops that the Swan is offering? Because there's going to be others besides just that one. So how long are they giving you guys to talk? Like, what
like
are you?
Like I said, it's 45 minute. They're 45 minute classes. I'm going to be doing two a day. It's going to be in the morning, one in the morning and one in the evening. And people can come around, and we're kind of doing it so that we're trying not to overlap each other too much. Because there's going to be like yoga, stretch, and spirituality. There's going to be, our tea lady, the armchair anthropologist. She is awesome. She's got some beautiful, she blends some beautiful teas, but she incorporates her spell work within her teas and stuff, or she can help you. I'm not saying she incorporates it in every tea, but she, if that's what you need, she does do spell work within the with her teas and things like that, and can teach, she's going to be teaching us how to do that. There's going to be, There's several different classes. Of course, the Mama and Papa Bones, they're going to be talking about tarot and candle working and energy cleansings and things like that, because they're very talented in that. If you could do come out to the Swan, please make sure you visit Mama and Papa Bones and get a reading and whatever. They are dynamic. They're a couple that they bounce off of each other. It's amazing. I love the energy that they have. And then we have another witch, a sister witch, that's going to be doing, she does runes and spiritual work there. So there's a whole bunch that's going to be offered. And we're getting new people. I was trying to get you out there to do some of your work or teach a class as well. Unfortunately, I know you're not available that weekend, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very enlightening, very interesting. If you are a new witch, or you're new to the craft, or you're just wanting to learn something new, you don't have, if you've been in the craft for years and years and years, and you just want to, it's kind of like, when you're in business, when you're in corporate America, and you're going to classes that teach, on leadership skills or whatever, You know, you kind of add to your toolbox doing that. Right. It might be stuff that you're already doing or that you know and you just need a refresher on, or it might be something, you know, you always can pick up something kind of new. Well, this is kind of the same thing. You know, you can come out to the market and come to this particular, your event. And
now, that event is this weekend, correct?
No. This is going to be in April.
This weekend is just a basic market.
This weekend coming up is a basic market, but I do, you know, that's one thing that Joe, the owner, wanted, Joe and Victoria, the owners, Victoria is the daughter with whom the inn is named after, and Joe is the mother. They both own the inn and they live there. But that's one thing that Joe and Victoria were talking about is, you know, they would like for us to start doing monthly classes. There's certain of us vendors that, they want us to start offering regular classes. And I was honored that they would ask me to do that. I was like, wow, that's fantastic. I would love to. So that's something that we're going to be doing. And we're going to be doing a variety of different classes. We're probably going to be doing, I think they're going to start, you know, we were looking for a place where we could probably do classes regularly. And it'll probably be in the milking barn.
Not to detract from your market, but for those of, those of people that are out there that are in Texas, or even those that are outside of Texas that may not be aware, this weekend is actually the Witch Fest in Austin. Oh, yeah. So Austin is not, but maybe about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of San Antonio.
That's right.
Like an hour north, right? But I'm thinking with traffic, it may take a little longer. So if you are traveling in from out of state, because a lot of people are coming in from Georgia, Tennessee, I've seen people from Michigan that say they're going to be there this weekend. There's going to be 3,500 people plus at Witch Fest in Austin. So if people, you know, are tired of the festival and want to, you know, step out, or if they're going to the festival, like for me, I'm only going because Matt Aron's going to be there. Typically my Saturdays are sacred because that's when I get to work on my master herbalism course. And when I work on putting together my other classes that I'm putting together. And when I do my Akashic record workings and things like that. So usually I don't do anything on Saturdays except for that. Unless it's for Now You're Talking, but that is going to be going on, and it's not that far outside of San Antonio. So if you guys are going to be, you know, maybe kind of tired of the festival, or if it's too crowded for you and you want something that's a little less busy,
quieter, especially for you empaths where all that energy gets to be a little much.
You got it.
Head south, the Swan is a beautiful respite.
And check that out. Now I do know, and I am making a plug for Matt because it's my podcast.
Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, see, there you go. So if you're coming in Saturday and you're going to be here Sunday for the festival, the festival's only Saturday and it ends at 5. So if you're staying overnight, you might swing through San Antonio on your way out and visit the Black Swan Inn. But I am going to make a plug for Matt Aron. I believe he is scheduled to go on at 1:30 to 3. And give a talk about his new book, Psychic Witch. Plug by the book. It's great.
Yeah, I can't wait to get that book.
It's probably one of the best books I have in my library currently. It's fantastic. But also, I want to bring up the fact that there is going to be a WitchyCon here in DFW, October 3rd, which is also a Saturday. So hopefully, I think that's the first weekend in October, so you'll be working. You won't be able to be here. But I'm hoping to be presenting at that one. Trying to think what else we were going to talk about. Well, I wanted to make sure that you got some time to talk about the Black Swan Inn. I know you've got to get going. It's 12:30 here now, so I have to get going as well. But
I'm hoping to open my shop, you know, mid-April is when I'm trying to target getting my shop open. You know, I'm using all reclaimed materials, so getting materials out there to build it in has been kind of a bit of a challenge. But when I do get my shop open, you know, please keep in mind, put it on your calendar, first and third weekend of the month, come out and see me. And of course, once I get my shop open, if, you know, something comes up between the shop days, the market days, I'm always able to go out and offer services as well once the shop has been built. So Thank you, Natalie, for having
welcome.
Me on your podcast. Thank you for the conversation. It was fun. It was great.
Take the time to talk to me. I don't get to talk to you as much as you would think.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You never call. You never
That's
write.
That's not true. That's
you never come and see me.
I'm working on that. It's just with the shop and school and work, it's been, you know, it's
always
been
an excuse.
Back in college, so, yeah.
You're working with the military. You know the effective range of an excuse is?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I'm hoping to get up there soon. I really am. It's just a matter of, you know, right now my priority is my shop and my schooling. So
I understand. So, even though I've taken time to come down there and see you.
I know.
I'm busy too, you know.
I know.
Two
I'm
businesses, three kids, seven dogs.
Yeah, well, jeez. Hey, kudos to you. You know, four kids, 13 grandkids, you know, hey.
They don't all live with you.
Three god kids. You know.
Get on out of here. That's an excuse. Again, the effective range of an excuse is. All right. Well, I do appreciate it, Corianne. You have a wonderful day. Everybody out there, have a wonderful day. Please
bless
offer
me,
up your candles, your prayers, your spellcraft for healing for Tennessee.
Yes.
Up to 19 dead confirmed, I think was the last report I had. So we really need to, you know, pray for our human and animal brothers and sisters in Tennessee that are going through a really awful situation right now. So thank you again, Corianne. I do appreciate it.